Well, praise the Lord and welcome to the Lord's house. This is Kenneth Unger and I'm glad to be with you today. You know the phrase, and probably most of you have heard it, to be or not to be. That's the opening soliloquy in one of William Shakespeare's plays, Hamlet to be exact. So borrowing from that line, with some alteration, I suppose, today's message is titled, To Believe or Not to Believe. And over the years, I've preached a number of messages and sermons about belief. In fact, back in 2007, I preached a message which was titled, I Believe. Then in October of 2011 and September of 2012, I preached messages simply titled, Do You Believe? And I believe those are also available on Messages on Demand, and you can look them up. Well, as a church-going, Bible-believing Christian, you'll many times in your life be asked the question, what is your belief? What do you believe in? And some will ask because they are sincere in finding out what you believe. And others, well, they're really asking to try and trip you up, see what they can find out, what they can possibly even maybe use against you to try to shake your faith or shake your beliefs. And I always remember back when I talk about this to when I was a kid, and especially in my youth as a young teenager. Sometimes people would ask, well, what do you believe? And you know, at the time, it seemed like in the church we taught more what we didn't believe than what we did believe. So a lot of times I would answer the question when they asked what you believe, I'd say, well, we don't believe in, and I would list those things. And it would have really been a lot simpler and a lot easier to have said, I believe in thus, thus, and thus. Well, according to a survey that was published in 2005, so that's been quite some time ago, there were 21 major religions in the world. And number three on the list at 1.1 billion adherents, believers, and that's kind of stretching it a little bit to call them believers, are those who say they don't believe. And you know, we talk about atheists, those who don't believe in God, and they don't believe in religion and so on. But yet, atheism is listed as a religion. It's a belief system. Well, as I said, this was quite some time ago, and I'm sure some of these numbers have changed. But probably the places on the list remain pretty much the same. But some of the younger folks here in America, especially, they don't think about when the average person didn't have a lot of education or book learning, as some called it. And I remember talking to people in the past where, well, they don't have a lot of book learning. Well, there was education system, of course, is advanced here, and not only in the United States, but in other countries, and we learn and we learn and we study and we have things available to us now that our parents and grandparents didn't have available to them. But there are still people who are around that don't have what a lot of people call a lot of book learning. You know, neither of my parents went to high school. In fact, I think sixth grade was probably about as high, maybe ninth grade, was as high as any of them went. And yet they seem to do okay in life. And my father-in-law, a man of whom I've had great respect, taught himself to read using the Bible and the school books his children brought home. You see, both my parents and my wife's parents were church-going, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. And they may not have had a lot of public education, but they did have, and they didn't have, I guess, some of the book smarts that we talk about, but yes, in a sense, they did have book smarts because they had Bible book smarts. They knew the Bible. They knew what the Word had to say. You know what? It's a sad thing that we're getting away from that today. We're many times, even within church, trying to find a way to say, well, the Bible really doesn't mean that, or this, that, or the other. And we try to discredit what God's Word has to say. I remember back in this late 50s, early 60s, I knew a preacher by the name of Bud Chambers, who's now gone home to be with the Lord. And he wrote a song back in that time period. And I'm not quite certain of the title, but part of it was, if the Bible says it, I believe it. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Well, here we are now in the 21st century, 50-some years after that song was written, and we have all sorts of gadgets and information available to us. Now, if you ask somebody a question, they'll pull out their cell phone and they'll Google the question on their smartphone and have you information almost within a few seconds sometimes. And sometimes you can go into a church service and you may see people looking at a little laptop or notebook type computer. And maybe they have their Bible on it. In fact, they may have numerous translations of the Bible on there. And they are able to look up stuff and to check and see what you're talking about. And if you say it's John chapter 1, verse 14, they can immediately go to that. And it's very interesting to have that available to us. And in fact, some people can even look it up on their phone, where they have a Bible available even on their cell phone. And so sometimes I know when I'm preaching, I see people taking out their cell phone or they're looking up the scripture that I just referred to it. Well, we have gotten smart. And after all, as some people believe, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Have you ever heard anybody say that? If it's on the internet, it must be true. I know years ago people used to say, well, if it's in a book, it must be true. If it's in the newspaper, it must be true. But let's face it, folks, we're finding out today a lot of stuff that we read in the newspaper, a lot of stuff we read in the books are not true. When I was going to college, I was taking courses in media and radio broadcasting. As a result of taking that class, I had an opportunity to listen to a copy of a radio broadcast that happened on October 31st of 1938. It was a program called the Mercury Theater on the Air. And on this particular episode, they presented a drama titled War of the Worlds that was based on the novel written by H.G. Wells in 1898. And so here it is. It's roughly 40-some years later that this is being broadcast now as a radio drama. And as they're doing this, they have no idea of the panic that this will cause in some people's lives. Because back in 1938, if you heard it on the radio, it must be true. A lot of people believed that. I can remember my great-grandmother telling, or hearing the story anyway, my great-grandmother telling my grandparents, lock the doors, and they lived out in the country, I mean out in the boonies, and lock the doors and all that. They've said on the radio there's a murderer loose. Well, she'd been listening to one of the soap operas, which was being broadcast from New York City, and here they were in northwest Arkansas, thousands of miles away. Well, she thought it was true. Well, in that particular broadcast, which was about Martians invading planet Earth, people got into a panic and some horrible things actually took place as a result of this broadcast because of the panic that ensued. Well, right or wrong, we've become accustomed to believing what we hear and what we see. And I can remember, you know, back years ago, we used to talk about, well, if it's a picture of it, photos don't lie. Well, most folks today realize photos can be the biggest liar there is, because you can take a picture of something And by the time you finish photoshopping it and doing all the things that you can do with it on your computer, it can become a completely different picture than what it originally set out to be. Well, this has become somewhat the case in Christianity. A lot of times we believe what we see and hear, but sometimes it's wrong. Think about that a moment. Let that sink in. Sometimes what we may see and hear in a church or religious setting may be wrong. You say, well, preacher, why would you say something like that? Well, last week we preached on false prophets and about the fact the Bible talks about in the last days there would be false prophets that abound. And there's things being preached in the church today that are wrong. And that's why we need to have that book smarts in what God's Word has to say. That's why we need to check out what is being taught to us, what's being taught to our children. And let's face it, folks, our children are being taught a lot of things that are wrong. They're being taught a totally different history than what we are being taught. They're being taught a history that some of us lived in, and they're being taught it was different than what we know it to be fact. And the same thing is being done in church in some cases. We're being taught a gospel that was not the gospel that the apostles preached. It was not the gospel that Paul and Peter and James and John and many of these others, in some cases, most cases, gave their lives for, because they were preaching the Word of God. Well, we see, we hear, and we believe. But why? Because we don't know what we believe, and we don't check it out with God's Word sometimes. It's important that you check it out with God's Word. And if it doesn't agree with God's Word, then my first thought to you is a three-letter word, run. Did you hear that? Run. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, run from it. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also went on in John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, where he says, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Twice here, he has said, I am the truth, the life, the way. You can't come to the Father except by me. And then he said, I am the door. There is no other way in. And if you want to be saved, you've got to come through me. I am the way. I'm the door. I'm the only way you're going to get in. But yet we have some preachers out there today who claim to be preaching the Christian gospel that deny the fact that Jesus is the only way. We will listen to television celebrities such as Oprah Winfrey and some of the big-name preachers that have television broadcasts, and some of them may tell us that there are many paths or way to heaven. But that doesn't agree with God's Word. It is not what God said. He said there is only one way. Only Jesus Christ paid the price for your salvation. I heard something on a particular TV program I was watching the other day, and it involved a mythical or a fictional character that was a pastor, and he was asked if he believed in hell, if there really was a hell. And his answer was, well, I think we all go to heaven, but you know, you may not have this or you may not have that, and that will be your hell. That's not what God's Word says. But you know what? There are some people that will watch that program and they will listen to what this fictional character had to say, and that is what they believe, that is what they accept, because this play, this character was produced by somebody that is a well-known celebrity. And after all, if they're a celebrity, what they say must be true. And don't we, as we look around today, find that to be fact? A celebrity can get up and say whatever they want to say, and people will follow after them if it meant jumping off a cliff because they said it was okay. Where have we gone wrong, people? Why do we not believe God's Word anymore? So a lot of folks will believe whatever some celebrity says. Well, after all, they're famous. They must be right. Well, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's read that again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The sad thing is, though, we will read and we'll believe someone else's book before we believe God's Word, the Bible. And today it's being taught out there, and I'm sad to say it's being taught out there by people who were well-known ministers claiming to be Christians. Things that go totally against the Word of God. Think about it. I read some thing the other day where they were discussing about God, and one person said, or about praying to Allah, because some churches have now started to pray to Allah. And this person says, well, after all, you know, he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You better check your facts, folks. God, Allah was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah, the God in the Bible, was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Allah didn't even come along till later. But yet they're trying to say he's the same God. Well, if you start to check your facts, folks, you'll find out if they are the same God, then there's a big problem, a really big problem. But I'm here to tell you, according to God's Word, they are not the same God. But we read, so-and-so wrote a book, they're famous, must be true. There's a lot of falsehood, a lot of false doctrine out there. Well, do you know what you believe? Let me ask you that question. Do you really know what you believe? You may say, I'm a Christian. And in reality, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're born again. You're on the way to heaven. But do you know what you believe? And it's not being taught in church today in a lot of cases. We've had discussions with some other pastors and other church members recently, and our children are not being taught the Word of God in Sunday school class like people my age were taught. And many of you, possibly, that are adults, went to Sunday school, and you learned about the Bible, and you learned about the things of God. And now if they even have something that passes for Sunday school, they read about or they study about some of the characters, such as VeggieTales or something like that. And I've got no problem with VeggieTales because they're cute, they get the kids' interest, and they're good for little kids, and they're even good. Some of the adults even enjoy them. Let's face it, I enjoyed watching them. But we need a foundation that begins with our youth, our kids, our children, as to what the Word of God says and what they believe. You're on our website, which is www.tlhf.us, if you're not familiar with it, we have a page that's titled, We Believe. And on this page, it documents the tenets of our faith, what we believe, what our doctrine is. And it comes from the Word of God. And there's Bible verses that are listed there to back up what we're stating. And there are 16 items that we have listed on there as to what we believe and the scripture to back them up. You know, we've published this for years on the back of our church bulletin, which has come out every week, and it's been on the website. And also on our website, we have a page titled Salvation, and it tells you what you must do to be saved. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, if you just repeat this particular prayer, you're going to be saved. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. And it's good maybe to have a little guidance for some folks who really don't know how to pray as to what to say and what to do when they're asking for forgiveness. But the whole thing that we don't seem to stress anymore is you can repeat the sinner's prayer till the cows come home, but if you don't repent of your sin and turn from the sin that you were walking in, then you are not saved, because you must repent to be born again as well. You must turn away. Repentance is simply turning away and walking away from your sin. Jesus' blood paid the price for the sins you've committed. Now you walk away and you try to sin no more. And with God's help, that's the way it will work out. Well, over the years I've heard a statement, and probably you have as well, you can believe a lie and be damned. And that's the truth. You can. You can believe a lie and be damned. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people going to church today that are believing a lie, and they're going to be lost because of a lie that they believed in. Do you know that there are preachers out there today, pastors of churches, that don't even believe of God? I was reading not too long ago of a particular church that the pastor was an atheist. He didn't even believe in God, but yet he was the pastor of a church. I met a pastor many years ago who had preached for, 40, 50 years. He was well up into his late 60s, early 70s at the time I met him. And he had just become a born-again Christian, even though he had pastored a church and a large denomination for all that time. But one day he realized he himself did not really believe what he had been preaching. And he repented, asked Jesus Christ into his life, and became born again. And guess what? It got him kicked out of his church. Sometimes we don't want to believe the truth. We'd rather believe that lie. We'd rather be damned, as it says. Over the years, here's what 2 Thessalonians says. As we're talking about believing a lie and being damned, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Think about that. There are people out there that are suffering from strong delusion today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 goes on, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're to study to show ourselves approved. We are to know what we believe. And I know there were some that will say, well, I choose not to believe. There are some who don't want to believe. And there are some that will say, well, after all, if there is that loving God that you talk about, well, surely he wouldn't send me to hell, or at least not for all eternity. Well, you are partially right. And I know there may be somebody out there that's a Bible-believing Christian that gasps and said, what? What is he saying? Well, you're partially right, because God does not send us a hell. We send ourselves. You You see, because God made a way of escape from hell. We, the day we are conceived, we are on our path to hell. Think about that. The day of conception, we start toward our path to hell. But God made a way for us to escape that because He is a loving God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" How can we escape if we neglect the salvation God gave to us? Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever." This is what is your destiny if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary that we could have escape. We could go to heaven and be with God for eternity as opposed to being with the devil for eternity in hell. Now, I mentioned those verses in Revelation. I want you to read here and also Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And when you've got time to do it, read the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 20. But it says in verses 14 and 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Whosoever was not found in the book of life. If your name is not there, I'm sorry, folks, you're going to hell. You say, that's pretty drastic, preacher, to say that. But that's what God's Word says. It says if your name is not written in the book of life, you're going to hell. And how do you get your name written in the book of life? It's by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By asking Him to come into your heart, repenting of your sins. And He will if you ask Him and you're sincere and you believe. Well, these are the destinies of those who don't believe. But what about those who do believe? Well, Revelation chapter 22, and again I urge you to read the entire chapter, but verses 1 through 5, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face." Think about that. We'll get to see the face of God. "And His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever." Think about that. There's two choices. It's what it really boils down. There's two choices. To believe or not to believe. To choose God or not to choose God. To choose salvation or to reject salvation. Which one will you do? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Father, for Your love for mankind. Father, I thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And through the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary, Father, we have forgiveness of sin if we accept it. But Father, I also know, Father, that that choice was left up to us. And I ask, Father, today, if there are any that are listening to this message that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, Father, they would call upon the Lord today, they would ask for forgiveness, that they would ask Jesus to come into their heart and life, that they would believe.